Just a little message before the podcast begins. You can find photos of all of the exhibits via the Knitcast blog. So if you'd like to take a virtual tour while listening to the podcast, head over to www.knitcast.com. Hello and welcome to Knitcast with me, Marie Urshard. Well, I'm here at the Heuer Gallery in Bristol in the UK for the exhibition Knit One, Build One, and it's being curated by Kirsty Hall. Kirsty, what's the premise behind the exhibition?
It's part of Architecture Week, which is a national week devoted to architecture, and there are lots of different events going on all over the country. And we were approached by the Bristol Architecture Centre to do a show, and they knew that we did the Bristol Stitch and Bitch here, so they thought we might want to do something about knitting. We thought that sounded like a lot of fun, and we happened to have a gap in the calendar, so we went for it.
Let's start off by having a look at the pieces. So the first piece here is called A Ton of Bricks on Your Shoulders. It looks like a long knitted strip, basically of part of a brick wall.
This is by Loredana Ducco, and it's our only international submission. It's come all the way from Australia, and it's a scarf. It's beautifully made. It's wonderfully finished on the back, as you can see, with fabric, and it's just lovely. And the idea about it is just to get you to look at things in a different way, and it's sort of amusing to have the idea of wearing bricks around your shoulders. It's not how you think of architecture normally.
Right, now this next piece, which is still on the needles actually, it looks like a colourwork piece with some ribbing, some moss stitch and intarsia in it as well, and it's called Bristol Docks Work in Progress.
This is a piece by Emma Rolston, who's a Bristol artist. She works over at UWE, which is the university in Bristol, and she's made this piece about Bristol docks. She lives close by there, I think, and she's been very interested in all the architecture that's going on there at the moment, because the docks have been sort of renewed over the last 5 or 10 years, and it's a very up-and-coming area, so there's constantly work in progress there, which I think is why she's left her piece deliberately unfinished. You can see that she's not finished in her ends, it's all still hanging loose, and I like that about the piece. And it's very striking the way she's done her colour work. She's got these big red cranes coming out of the piece.
Right, well, down the steps, and we come to another intarsia piece called Stained Glass.
This is a piece by Alice Newstead, who's one of the knitters who comes to the Bristol Stitch and Bitch, and although she has only recently started knitting, within the last year, I think, as you can see, she's already become very skilled at it, and she's already at the stage of designing her own pieces, and she makes wonderful leg warmers and jumpers and things without even using patterns, so she's very talented. And this piece is a stained glass window knitted entirely in intarsia, and it's just very beautiful. It's quite abstract when you're close to it, but as you move further away, you can actually see that there's a figure with a halo in the piece.
This next piece uses crochet.
Yes, when I put the brief out for the exhibition, I said either crochet or knitting, but only one crocheter responded, and that's Annalise Egley, who's a Bristol artist who does a lot of work with textiles. And she's also very interested in experimental ceramics, and she's combined the two in this piece. She's made slabs of ceramic in the form of bricks, which she's textured with various objects so that they're very kind of highly textured. And then she's gone round with crochet to give the resemblance of mortar. And she actually has two pieces in the show, this piece, which is Pico Archway, and another piece over there, which is Terracotta Folly, which is a little house hanging from the ceiling. And I have to say, these are two of my favourite pieces in the show. I just think the combination of ceramic and fibre arts is just so inventive and so exciting.
Well, the next item is actually hanging from the ceiling. I think it's a representation of the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
It is, yes. This is by an artist called Claire Blythe. I believe she's still a student, actually. She works in textiles, and recently she's been experimenting in combining latex and textiles. So what she's been doing is knitting and then dipping it in textiles to make sort of freestanding sculptural pieces. And she's been working on these series of towers. So when she heard about the exhibition, she thought it was, you know, kind of quite perfect for her work. I was actually surprised when I put out the call for the exhibition. It came up at such short notice that we only actually had about 6 weeks to put it together. And I was stunned by how many artists responded to me to say they were already working with fibre arts and architecture. Several of the pieces in the show were not made especially for the show, but had been things that artists were already working on. When I started it, I thought, gosh, architecture and knitting, that's so off the wall, nobody's going to respond. And I was amazed at how many people were already using knitting to explore themes of architecture.
And just by it, we have Residue by Helen Street.
Helen's taken a really interesting approach to knitting. She's a student and she's working on this series of knitted constructions that are based on her memories of places that she's lived in the past. So the piece represents a floor plan of one of the flats that she's lived in, and the lacy areas are areas that she didn't have access to or that she doesn't have a strong memory of, where the highly worked areas are areas of the house that made that where she lived, you know, her bedroom and the kitchen and the living room and places like that and the corridors. So they're areas that she had more access to. And I just love the idea behind that, that you can use knitting in such a conceptual way. People think of knitting as being very domestic and very much about garments and you know, quite female. And I think it's amazing that artists are actually coming to knitting now and using knitting in a much more sculptural and conceptual way.
Well, this next piece must be very important to you. It's by yourself, and it's called Another Brick for Carl. And it's a knitted brick, not something I ever thought I'd see. But what's the story behind this?
Well, I was thinking about Carl Andre, who is famous or infamous in this country for having the pile of bricks in the Tate. And it's the thing that people always cite when they're talking about how rubbish modern art is. I just thought about bricks because they're such an iconic kind of shape in relation to architecture. You know, they're one of the fundamental building blocks of houses, and particularly in this country, particularly in the south, where there's a lot of brick buildings. And I just love the shape, and I found this brick in my garden and it had these wonderful three holes through it, and I just thought, oh, that would be so much fun to knit. And it was, because I actually had to learn how to do knitting on four needles and also knitting big circular holes, which wasn't nearly as straightforward as I thought it would be. But it's been a very popular piece, this, actually, because people always want to seem to want to touch it, so you can actually squish it. It's actually quite cuddly, and I'm looking forward to having it back after the show, because I think it's going to be handy to throw at people when they make bad jokes in our house.
The piece after your brick is quite extraordinary, because it looks like it's been made from knitted wire, and it's very blue and very metallic and very sparkly as well. Tell us more about this one.
This next piece is by Solvi Gott, and it's called Wasserturm, and it's a hanging piece. It's about maybe 5 foot tall, something like that, and it's made with machine knitting, I think. I could be wrong, it could be hand knitting, I can't quite tell, but it's made with wire and various fibres, and I think it's very beautiful, although I was surprised that somebody actually found it really creepy. She's based down near Beachy Head, right near the sea, and so this is, the piece is German for water tower, and she was also inspired by the Beachy Head lighthouse, and she wanted to make something relating to that.
We're now standing by another item. This is called Farnley Hay by Caroline Peach. This is very colourful, using sort of pinks and greens and oranges and reds. Tell us about this one.
Caroline lives up in Yorkshire, and she lives near this building called Farnley Hay, and it's a 1950s building designed by an architect called Peter Womersley. She has been fascinated by this building for years, so she's relished the chance to make a piece of architecture about it. It's a very abstract piece. It doesn't, you know, if you look at it, you wouldn't think it was related to architecture. But what she's done is she's taken different colours and shapes, and she's taken them to represent the way he has mixed different materials and textures, such as glass and concrete. So it's a sort of abstract rendition of a favourite building. And I think it's just an interesting approach to architecture. I mean, I think, you know, when you say knitted architecture, everybody thought, well, it would be lots of little knitted houses, and really there's very little of that in the exhibition. Artists have come at the brief with a very fresh kind of view of how you could combine knitting and architecture.
Well, we're now walking over to what looks like a, well, it looks like a very long scarf that's been sort of wound around a piece of wood for display purposes, but it looks like it's been knit mostly in garter stitch, actually.
This is a piece called Traditional Finnish Log Buildings and Snow, and the artist, although she lives in Britain now, is originally from Finland, and she has been working with childhood memories of her home in Finland. This is based around the log cabins that Finnish families like to go on holiday in, and the log cabin apparently is a very kind of iconic building in Finland, and it's part of their whole mythology of who they are. And so what she's done is she's taken the different colours, the sort of weathered creams and greys that you see in these buildings, and the white for when they're covered in snow, and she's just made this long, stripy, scarf-like piece and then draped it over some old wood to represent these old log buildings.
We're now by two felted items called Views of the Horny Bridge.
Yes, this is Pero's Bridge in Bristol, which links the watershed with the Arnulf Fini down by the docks in the centre of Bristol, and Pero was a slave who was brought over to Bristol in, I think, the 18th century, and the bridge was built around the millennium and named after him to kind of recognise Bristol's long slave trading history. And this piece is by Jane Taylor, who's the knit instructor over at UWE, which I think I mentioned UWE before. It's the Bristol Art and Design Department. And she has been making these pieces about the architecture, and they're very like drawings, really. She knits them and then felts them, I think. And so they have these black and white lines coming through them, and also, I think, some sewing in places, and then they're felted. She was telling me this one, she thinks, got put in the machine with something else because it's got a slight pink tinge to it, so she doesn't know quite what she put in the machine with it, but that wasn't intentional, apparently, but I actually quite like that.
Now, we've already seen one item that's been knitted in wire, but there are also four others which are quite different by an artist called Solly Solomon, and they're called Untitled. Now, one of them has got lots of nails and nuts and things threaded through the knitted fabric. There's another one with more sort of screws and keys, another assorted hardware through them. What can you tell us about these?
This was our surprise entry. Solly saw us knitting at the Bristol Stitch and Bitch, which we hold upstairs in the shop, and came in and said, "Oh, I've just seen your thing in the window about this show, and I've been doing all these knitted pieces. Can I bring them in?" So she just brought them in about 2 days before we were hanging the show. And I went, "Oh yes, these are great, let's have them." And what she's been doing is going around and collecting discarded objects like nails and scrap metal and all bits of computers. The sort of thing that you might find in our city streets just lying around. She's then been incorporating them into these wire structures, and it's about the sort of beauty of discarded items. But I particularly like her long piece with the it's on a pole, and it's hanging in front of the wall of the gallery, so you can actually see behind it. It throws the most beautiful shadows with these nails.
We're now standing by what looked like a collection of little knitted squares, which are sat atop some sand. And this is by Camilla Stacey.
Right, Camilla is one of the people who founded the Here Shop and Gallery, and she's been very involved with it from the start and curates a lot of the shows here. She currently lives over in Weston-super-Mare, which is just outside Bristol, and she likes to go to the beach there. And this piece was based on her memories of her first encounters with architecture, which was through building sandcastles on the beach and also playing with blocks as a small child. So she's made these little knitted blocks that are the same size as a children's wooden blocks would be, and she's filled them with sand, and then they're sitting on a pile of sand. Now, they started out quite full and rigid at the start of the show, but as people have come in and touched them and played with them, they've slowly began to sag, and as the sand has dried and fallen through the cracks of the knitting.
We just walked over to a round pillar in the gallery, and wrapped around it is basically what looks like an unfinished piece of knitting in the round on four, or is it five, double-pointed needles with a big ball of green, variegated colours of green and white yarn.
Right, this is a piece by Jane Porter, who again is another one of the curators in the gallery, and she decided she would like to knit a piece that was actually sort of site-specific to the gallery, and she was really liked the column in the space and decided that the thing to do was to knit a piece round the column that would actually either have to be unravelled or cut off at the end of the show. And so that's what she's done. And it reminds me of a sort of sock or a leg warmer for the pillar.
Well, in the middle of the gallery space is a house structure, which visitors to the gallery have basically been adding knitted items to.
This hasn't worked quite as well as I hoped. I think we needed more knitters to come and add items to it, but I actually quite like it as it is. And that's probably because my partner Ian and I built the bamboo structure on the night of the private view and had a really great time doing it. It was actually quite empowering to build something from little bits of stick and strings. You think of architecture as being something that other people do, you know, you don't think of it as something that you can be involved in. And even as a sculptor, I found it quite amazing that I could actually take very thin sticks of bamboo and make a three-dimensional structure that's actually pretty solid. And what we've got hanging from it are just sort of little bits of knitting that people have done and added to the show as they've come in.
Knit One, Build One was launched with what you hoped would be a 24-hour knitting party. Did it actually last 24 hours?
No, we gave up and went home at about 1 a.m. We didn't get enough knitters coming along. I think if there'd been a big bunch of us, we would have knitted all night quite happily, but there were only about 3 or 4 of us, and we sort of looked at each other at about 12:30 and went, oh, really tired, let's go home. But we're hoping to maybe do a 24-hour knit-a-thon again at some point, possibly for National Knitting Week later in the year.
Now, you've already mentioned that the gallery and shop hosts Stitch and Bitch meetings. How have those been going? How popular are they?
They're very popular. We have them once a fortnight. It's the first and third Sunday of the month. We get really quite a variety of people coming along. And sometimes it's very busy and sometimes it's very quiet. The last time we did, it was only about 4 of us because it was one of those scorching hot days that we've just had. And it was obviously a bit too hot for everybody to come and knit. But yeah, they tend to be really popular. And we have a range of people come. We've had children to grandmas come along and even the occasional boy. I have actually taught a couple of men to knit, which has been quite good fun.
You're an artist. Do you see knitting as being an art, a craft, or both?
I would say both. As an artist, craft's always been my dirty little secret, really. When I was at art college, I never used to kind of let on that I really liked things like knitting and crochet. But as the years have gone on, I've increasingly used knitting in my own work and also crochet, and I've become increasingly interested in textiles and the kind of poetic meaning that textiles have. You know, we can't escape textiles, you know, we use them every day, they're part of our everyday life, and I'm really interested in the way that you can take something that's quite ordinary, like a jumper, and really change people's perception by sort of taking an artistic approach to it.
How long have you been knitting?
I started knitting when I was about 14 and I was going through my first series of big exams, and I asked my mum if she would teach me to knit because I wanted something to do to reduce the stress, and I knitted my first jumper, and that was in the 80s, so it was a wonderfully multicoloured pink and yellow and white affair and very fluffy. The jumper came out well and the exams didn't do quite so well because I was spending all my time knitting instead of studying. I knitted while I was a teenager, and then I dropped it when I was in my early 20s. I'm still not quite sure why. I think life just kind of got in the way. And I came back to it about 1.5 years ago, and I've been knitting manically ever since, and I'm completely obsessed now. And so I've just finished my first garment for about 20 years. I've sort of been doing hats and scarves and things, and also knitting little crocheted earrings and things in wire. And I've just finished a summer sort of top in crochet. I just finished sewing it up last night. And anybody who reads my blog will know that it was quite an achievement because I had to frog it about 5 times to get it right. So it's been a real learning curve doing shaping and garment making again.
So do you have any more knitting-related exhibitions planned?
I don't know. I think we will do. This one's been so much fun. We've got a strong textile base in the gallery. We've shown embroidery and textile work, tapestries, and very kind of alternative forms of that. Camilla did a show earlier this year called Stitch or Swallow, which was kind of subversive textile artists from the States who were doing things like naked women in fun fur rugs and things. So that was quite fun. And I think we'll probably do another knitted show next year of some description. I'm really, having done this one, I'm really intrigued to find out what other areas knitters are exploring in sort of sculptural and conceptual ways. I think there's such a focus on knitting at the moment that it's a shame not to take advantage of people's interest.
And that was Kirsty Hall ending that report. And remember that you'll find photos of the exhibits and a link to Kirsty's blog by going to the Knitcast blog. That's at www.knitcast.com. I'm Marie Urshard, and that was Knitcast. Thanks for listening.